What's up, Darren?
What up, what up, what up, what up, what up? What's
So,
happening?
well, I have a question for you. So last night on OnlyLands, the guys and yeah, everybody on the show was white. They said that jokes against white people aren't funny. And I feel like I have heard funny white people jokes, but I couldn't come up with any in the moment. I was wondering if you have any.
I don't personally have any, but I do know, like, I've heard funny ones. I just can't remember them off the top of my head. And I of course I've heard them because I know racist black
There you go. Yeah,
people.
well, I will check my caucasity. I wonder if our guest today has any good white people jokes. Hopefully, we'll see. We'll ask him when he comes on. But before we do that, we're going to hear from our sponsors. We're going to have a fun conversation today. We're going to talk to Michael Freeman about what the Colorado Constitution says about the rights of the people. We're also going to talk about X and the America Party and what that might mean for Colorado. But before we get into any of that, we're going to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs actually, and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Ira Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals, and we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and Ira. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you, but protect your portfolio because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
I'm David Cross, and you may know me from my election integrity work, but I also own U.S. Asset Management, a family-owned and operated investment advisory practice. I'm a certified portfolio manager, and my job is to help you make better decisions with your money. One of the things we try to avoid is investing in companies that push the woke agenda. If you're invested with one of the big firms out there's a pretty good chance that you're feeding the beast that hates your values. Our company is 100% conservative, and we'd love to have an opportunity to work with you. Check us out at us-am.com and look for our big, proud American Eagle logo.
Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, CPAC, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
And we are back. Muted. And we switch spots.
My bad.
Okay, now you're not muted anymore. All right. So without further ado, let's bring on our guest, Michael Freeman, the anti-grifter on X. What's up, dude?
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, glad to be here.
So right before you came in, I was telling the story last night on OnlyLands, which is a show we do over on Badlands, which is just, a bunch of us talking shit. Everybody was white, and for some reason it came up that white people jokes aren't funny. Now we immediately debunked the theory by playing Dave Chappelle's race
Oh,
draft, the draft one
that was
where they
classic. That
Yeah,
was
which
classic.
was delightful. I hadn't seen that before, and it was a lot of fun. I couldn't come up with any good. I know Darren has definitely made hilarious white people insults against me, but I couldn't think of any of them in the moment. So, do you have any good white people jokes?
I don't have any jokes, but the only thing I know is, you guys aren't known for seasoning your food very well. That's really the
Oh.
only thing I've heard.
Or dancing.
Or dance, yeah, dancing too. I'm
Oh,
not a
well,
great dancer, so I'm not gonna
you know
put
what?
that out. But
All right,
you know
I
what,
opened
Michael?
this
No, hold
door.
on. But hold on. You know, it's not the dancing. It's the rhythmless dance.
Oh yeah, yeah. Out of sync with the music. Yeah.
Right, maybe we right, just hear it different.
It could be. It could be.
It's possibly. We're eclectic.
I don't rule that out. I can say that.
So we're going to talk about the Colorado Constitution, but before we do that, I want to talk about what's going on over on X. So I have a couple of video clips. Elon left the administration at the end of May. It was kind of hysteria.
You sure he left or he wasn't?
Because his special government contract period had expired and he was always going to leave at the end of May. And he had said that in like February.
Oh, yeah. Oh shit.
Uh-oh. We have one more. Well, let's see if when her camera.
They were trying to find a way to extend it. I know that.
So he left, and he still remains, you know, the largest, if not the largest, DOD contractor, which it will come up in one of these clips. But then he, you know, like it, there was the spat that they had a couple weeks ago, Trump and Elon, where it's like, you're on the Epstein list, you're on the Epstein list. And you know, maybe we'll get into some of that because that's a whole other story. But most recently, it has been the America Party. We're launching a third party, which, quite frankly, I think is a great idea in Colorado. I'm not for an H-1B's a tech bro party, so I won't. And I won't join parties anyway, but I will support their efforts if they're disrupting the uniparty in the state of Colorado. But the messaging about the America Party has been largely tech bro H-1B visa
a little weird.
Agenda. And so let's play these clips. Was that?
Support of the American Party.
Yeah. I know that guy. I think I called him with an issue on my order.
It's like the guys used to be in the VCs and the crypto chats.
Yeah. Well, there is. So when Vivek and Elon were both doing Doge, there she is. There she is. Balance out the hormonal balance on the show. She's always on the go.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Taking a stroll.
Taking a stroll.
Making my way downtown, walking fast.
Make sure those Trend de Aragua doesn't get you up there.
You said making my way downtown, but it sounded like you said taking my weave downtown.
Taking my weave downtown.
I guess good
works in the context.
Trend de Aragua is all that.
Karen's theme song. We have to record that. For every time she comes on the show. All right. So yesterday, the story goes that a developer unleashed the Grok Kraken and rolled back the political correctness that's baked into the code. And so we saw Grok name itself Mecha Hitler. And start answering every question that was asked of it in what many people called the most based way, but in, you know, somewhat off official narrative and acceptable discourse ways. And then that developer guy got fired.
Oh,
now, wow. Interestingly, Linda Yaccarino then resigned from X after two years of being at the helm. But this is all part of this macro story of what is going on with Elon. And I think Steve Bannon has a great synopsis here of as take away all the political stuff, the political donations, the, you know, all of the ops that we've run with Elon since before the election. When you consider that he is the United States's, you know, again, one of, if not the largest DOD contractor, the way that he is behaving raises some questions. Check this out.
Of Twitter just resigned Linda Yaccarino, who was hired to add some adult supervision on something that's totally out of control. And sorry, lady, you were there. It's on your watch. You're making hundreds of millions of dollars. You're getting billions of dollars of stock. Sorry, lady, that's coming a day late and a dollar short. Not just that. The stuff he said about President Trump, the Trump movement, this new third party, all this crazy stuff he's talking about. He's a major defense contractor. any board of directors, and the board's liable. The board members better start lying because you're going to get caught up in it too.
Yep.
Any board of directors of any defense contractors, number one, would have put Elmo on a leave, on administrative or psychiatric leave.
I know.
They would have demanded his security clearance been pulled. They would have done a complete review. Or your contracts are cut. SpaceX, Starlink, all of it. I'm never going to talk about the economics. I'll get to that days ahead, the ripoff there. Do you think of Northrop or Grumman or Martin Marietta or Lockheed or Tenet, the shipbuilders or anything, any of these public or private companies, if a CEO chairman acted like this, that they would allow that behavior to continue? Are you nuts? You're all liable. This is the way the system works. We're just going to use the system. You're all liable. If you can't keep Elmo in his playpen, right? If you can't, you're responsible. You have a fiduciary. She understands that. What do you think the hell she's heading out of town?
What do you think?
I think you asking me?
Yeah, you go first and also move your mic back towards your mouth.
No. Elon's out of control. He needs a hug. I think this America Party thing is going to be a big problem because it's already starting off wrong. You got Cuban, a Democrat, big time donor. Then you got, what is it, Scaramucci? Those are the first two that say, hey, let's do this.
Michael Cohen.
And Pence.
It's like, what are you doing? Like, this is already starting off bad. And then here's the thing, too. Elon doesn't realize that. I already know where he's going with this, because he's going to try to pull the stunt that he tried to pull with Trump, where he's like, well, I paid for this, for my opinion to be honored, right? Well, you didn't, because, and here's another thing too, every candidate that he backs is going to be a problem, because when they get on that debate stage and the first question that's asked is, well, because your biggest donor and your biggest backer is Elon, does he own you?
And where do you stand on foreign workers?
Where do you stand on this? So they're gonna cook him. See, what somebody made a very big gave a big, very good overview about this. Politicians, yes, they are bought and sold, right? However, they're high priced escorts, not corner hoes. You see what I'm saying? So it's a high price escort. You got to make a phone call. You got to organize this. You got to verify. I understand that. Corner hose, you just walk up. You can't do that with politicians.
You don't need a reservation.
You need a reservation. Okay. You need to be verified. All right.
Karen, go ahead.
Do you mean like a dominatrix? Because those are a lot.
I think you need a reservation for that.
Yeah, those are high priced too.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Listen, what? Excuse me, what? hold on. What?
Karen, you're in the trenches of the info war on X. What do you make of this whole thing with Elon?
No, she's not. She's in front of the 7-Eleven.
I know.
7-Eleven? I thought it was a Mexican restaurant.
You know, he's kind of hard to gauge. He's all over the place. It's the only way that I can kind of square this up and make it reasonable, because it isn't, is this is a psyop. I don't even, this is like, this is the generation warfare. Who are the players, though? Elon is all over the place. Is it all these baby mamas? I don't know. So now, I see the America First Party, the first picture that's come out. It looks like the Chamber of Commerce for India. That's the America First Party? He doesn't read the room on that?
It's not the America First Party. It is the America Party.
America Party. Okay. Well, America Last, essentially. And doesn't he understand the single issue, even ahead of and above economics, above safety, above anything else? Mass deportations was the issue that won President Trump the election.
Both times.
both time. I mean, but this time for real though, because we had these people stealing jobs, and you know, it seems like he's now wanting to, you know, make, oh well, wait, we need an exception for these people.
Now he ran it back. Carolina,
yeah.
Carolina,
but yeah, but why is he standing in a picture with a bunch of those people who, you know, it's even an issue with the birth tourism and with the foreign workers, the H-1Bs, who have children here. They're concerned because of the mass importation. So Elon better find his way back or just bow out. We don't need all this back and forth. It just looks like a big psyop to me.
Yeah, you hit on the baby mamas, that, you know, having all those babies and birthright citizenship, Laverne Spicer and you are on the same page.
And being touched by the tism.
For real. I think there's something to, so let's go full foil theory on this is a psyop. It's a orchestrated information deployment to make us think, do, feel something, right? One thing that I could see, if I put on my belief that we're trying to make America great again and put America first, which would include getting massive amounts of money out of politics and having it so, you know, overturning Citizens United, having it so that corporations can't buy elections, because even if we set aside all of the fake voters, fake ballots, fake counts, there is still the outsized influence of the billionaire class on elections in both parties. What if, again, full foil, super optimistic, hopium theory, what if the role that Elon is playing is to show, like, pull the thread all the way and show the logical conclusion of having a billionaire have so much influence in American politics? Michael, what are your thoughts on that?
About him? Yeah, so definitely want to get money out of politics. I think most of the country is pretty in unison about that. I think what you would probably see happen is, honestly, they'd probably just bribe him behind the scenes. That's my only concern with that. And they always have those NGOs where they can funnel money to, like, their family members. So you're always going to have that. I don't know whether it's better to have that be transparent and just have the lobbyists, you know, as we do now, where it's like, look, we know they're being bribed by this lobbyist that's, you know, whatever, spending all this money trying to influence them. Or is it better to have them behind the scenes and have that be illegal, but then they, you know, you always have politicians that cover up, you know, bribery and all that to allow it to go on. It's pretty sickening. But yeah, I obviously want to get, you know, the billionaire class not controlling everything, especially not, it's not necessarily that Elon's any worse than any of the other billionaires. But yeah, I think a lot of them, you know, need to stop.
Yeah. And it's not his ideas are better or worse than any of the other billionaires, because that's not what's in question. What's in question is the influence that, you know, such a small part of the population can have. And I love that you brought up behind the scenes versus what's happening in public, because in public, we all see, Karen kind of outlined it perfectly, right? The guy's all over the place and there's, you know, all of these deployments happening. But according to Susie Wiles, there were concerns behind the scenes as well. Check this out.
Similar. The president was very, very kind to him. And Elon had so much to offer us. He knew things we didn't know. He knew people and technologies that we didn't know. It was a great thing when it was a great thing. And I had a very troublesome ending.
Why do you think that happened?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I don't know. I know that what has been said doesn't ring accurate to me, but I don't know. I enjoyed working with Elon. I think he's a fascinating person and sees the world differently. And I think that's probably what the president saw too, just a little bit different than the average Joe. But certainly came to not a good ending.
So I think that's a very interesting statement. Susie Wiles is, of course, the White House Chief of Staff, and she's been with She, what's that? Did you say something?
Who's that? Who's that interview with? New York Post?
I'm not sure who that is. I've seen her before. It says Pro the Force One. Seemed very- at the bottom, it looks like it would be a new New York Post logo. Pod Force One is what that is.
So they're doing a podcast too.
Apparently,
news people. That's weird.
But Susie Wiles is the White House chief of staff, and she's been with President Trump for a very long time. She is arguably one of his, if not his, most trusted advisor. And she says the narrative that's being told out there about, you know, the ending of Elon at the White House, Elon in the administration, was does not ring true for her. Now, one thing that a lot of people don't know, or mainly just because they didn't read the executive order, is that DOGE was set up in the White House executive offices reporting to Susie Wiles. So Elon was on paper reporting to Susie Wiles in his work in the administration. She's saying had a very not good ending, doesn't go into detail about what that, you know, what that means, what the details of that not good ending are. I mean, we can all see it's happening in public, but there was behind the scenes stuff as well. I want to believe it's Scott a psyop, Benson. But it's, yeah, go ahead, Darren.
Scott Benson punched him in the face, I heard.
Oh yeah.
I wonder why.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. But I don't know about it.
I love Besson.
I can tell you I'm good at detecting psyops. I don't think it is like the UFO stuff. I was calling that out before, you know, before they kind of admitted, okay, those were ours. After Trump got in office, they basically were like, oh, those were ours. So then you got to go back and ask, you know, why were they pretending to not know what these UFOs are and doing all the reporting? That was a psyop. I called that one out. Several other psyops I've called out. I'm blanking right now, but I don't see this as one.
Where do you stand on Epstein?
Epstein. So my opinion is completely different than what most people would go. I do think that elites were meeting with him to do illegal stuff, but I don't think it was the child rapist. I think he was a child rapist. I think Epstein was. I don't think the elites that were going, they might have been, but they weren't meeting with him for that. Some of them might be, but that's not why they were meeting with Epstein. That's my opinion. I think it was probably money laundering, possibly, and that's why they don't want it out. But why they built this, that's the part I don't get, is why the media, because, you know, these intel agencies and the government, they have a lot of control over what, you know, mainstream outlets cover and how they cover stuff. So I don't know why they allowed that narrative that they're meeting with Epstein to you know, abuse children. I don't know why they did that, but I'm sure there was a reason. I just don't, that's the only part of it I'm kind of not getting, but that's where I effectively stand.
Go ahead, Darren.
I think, that the whole Epstein thing is—it's like it maybe. I think it, considering I don't hear any elected Democrats making a big deal out of this, I think they don't. I think it's a nice little blackmail list. I mean, you just got to look at it. Trump has been having his way since he got elected. It's been going very well for him. So why would I give you my blackmail tool?
Like, well, I have to fact check you though.
Like why? Well, like think about it. Processing. Why so? Some idiots on Twitter can make some content for 6 months. Like no. I wouldn't.
Here we go.
What happened?
Fact check.
Hit me.
Jamie Raskin and 15 other top Democrats accused Justice Department of withholding Epstein files to protect Trump.
Okay. It's possible. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's why I don't fully get. I don't fully understand, you know.
Well, let's do this. Let's do this. Narrative. Considering they tried to bankrupt the man, they tried to kill him. They tried to tear his whole life apart.
Yeah.
If he was actually on this list,
be out. It would have been out.
And why would he sign that executive order? Why would he sign that? So I don't fully get it.
Yeah. Here's my thing. How if somebody's as bad as you say, right? Why you got to make up shit about him? Like,
because he's doing the same stuff a lot of these other politicians. That's what they were there for.
Well,
that's
no, what I'm saying is like look at the Steele dossier, right? Like, if Trump is as bad as you people say, why do you have to go to lengths to make up shit about it?
Because the things they know he's doing, they're also doing it. So that you don't generally, like, if you're corrupt, you don't call out other corrupt people for that same thing you're doing. Yeah, so that's possibly why they're kind of like, we're all doing it, you know. So that's why the courts function the way they do. There's certain things other courts do.
Go ahead, Karen.
I think if they had something on this man, they knew he was going to run for a third term. James Comey was in charge of the FBI. Clapper was in charge of the CIA.
Yep.
These are high-level individuals. At least they were before they fell from grace. If they had something so damning on Donald Trump, we would have known it by now. Yep. It would have been 24/7 broadcast. It would have been a ticker across the bottom like it was during COOF. We would have known. He's in the files. Yes, he is, because he is the one who cooperated with the Miami Police Department when this was a hot issue down Palm Beach. He cooperated, so he's in there. Yeah, he's in there. Of course he is. Nobody else cooperated, so he's in there. But see, they're only going to give you the illusion that, yeah, we want to know what's in the Epstein files, but do we really? If there was something so damning on Donald Trump, they would have dropped that shit like a new rap video on the surface.
100%.
We would have seen it.
In 2016.
My G, we would know about it. They would have risked violating FCC rules to drop this on the mainstream. They wouldn't have dropped it on the black, on the dark web. Okay. We would have seen the pictures, the videos, the audio. They ain't got nothing on him. We would have seen it.
Unless it's something they're all doing. Unless it's something a lot of them are doing.
Go ahead.
See, Darren, I told you your mic was too low.
Oh, my bad.
Could stop him, because they knew what he was going to do, which he is doing, getting rid of all their USAID money, I think they would have fried some people and risked. They would have been a meeting and said, look, you gonna have to take the fall for this. You, and you.
Yep.
The rest of us, we're gonna be protected. They would have sacrificed some to save the machine, but they didn't. Donald Trump ain't in there like they say. We would have seen it.
I mean, he snitched on him. He snitched on Epstein, essentially. Yeah. Now, my thing is, we already know Bill Gates and Reid Hoffman were participants. So
Bill Clinton, too.
So let's just say, Bill Clinton. So let's just say, for instance, that we did get this list, right? This mysterious list, which is kind of weird, because nobody that you don't need lists when you got video. You know what I'm saying? So yeah,
if you have video.
So my thing is, we got Reid Hoffman, Bill Gates, and Bill Clinton already known to be diddling with kids, and none of those three have even touched the stairs of a jail precinct. So what the heck you think you gonna get when you bring all of Hollywood out on a composition notebook piece of paper?
Nothing's gonna happen.
This right here.
No, hold up. Stop. I'm going to stop you right there, because we're in an information war, and the stories that were being told about the Epstein investigation, it's very important to understand what we're being told. So let's go back to when Pam Bondi told, it's either Bill something or Jesse Waters. I can't remember exactly who she was talking to.
Bill Malugin.
Yeah, or Jesse Waters, that she said, it's on my desk to review, right? You guys remember that? Within 24 hours, the binders came out. Now, what was it? And that was hilarious, that everybody was like, we already know this, right? What was in the binders? The flight logs. That's a list.
Yeah, it is.
Guys, and that came out, and the information came out that she had that was on her desk. And then it was, SDNY has all these videos. And when she came out, so she said that after the binder situation, and that was one of the, you know, within 24 hours of the binder situation, we had the New York field office of the FBI and the Southern District of New York within the DOJ were hiding all of this information about Jeffrey Epstein, which was videos. She was then asked about it on the White House lawn, And she said they're going through and they're redacting victims. And the way the story was told to us, they hadn't seen this stuff before. The Pam Bondi DOJ had not had a chance to go through all of these videos, all of this information that they took out of the New York field office of the FBI. And so they were going through, and she said it's thousands and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of child porn and Jeffrey Epstein with children. So that, if you take that at face value, that debunks the meme laugh. And I shared it too, because I think it's hilarious. But why did Jeffrey Epstein kill himself if he was about to be acquitted due to a complete and total lack of evidence? You guys have probably seen that one going around. Well, he wasn't about to be acquitted, according to Pam Bondi. And according to what we've been told about this story all along, there are videos of Jeffrey Epstein engaging in crimes with children.
Yeah.
So
that we know.
The point of all of that is, I don't think Pam Bondi lied. I think that the internet and largely conservative and kind of anon influencers on X read a whole bunch of shit into what she said and then got really angry when what they read in and what they told their followers was going to happen and what didn't happen, they got real angry, and now it's Pam Bondi lied. I don't think she lied. Now, here's the other thing that I think about Epstein, because Jeffrey Epstein is my most hopium theory that I hold. It is the most hopium position that I have. I'm pretty pragmatic about everything. But the bumbling government narrative of, you know, all of these Columbo-esque moves that end with him suiciding himself in prison, I don't buy it. But I also think that I view that in the context of the magnitude of the crime. So it's not just that people out there have said that all of these elites are having sex with children. There are numerous stories and witness accounts and victims of these people who have made these allegations, and they've never seen the courtroom. Hold on 1 second. Let me just finish really quickly. The magnitude of the crime that we're told is now being ignored and covered up is a global sex trafficking ring that traded in children up to from organ harvesting and labor trafficking and human trafficking, sex trafficking, up to and including satanic ritual abuse. That's what we're told this network was doing. Assuming that that's the allegation, let's take it at true at this stage of the proceeding. If that's the allegation, the magnitude of that crime is a RICO to the level we've never seen before. It's way bigger than the Gambino family and the other things that they stand on and say, look, we can totally prosecute organized crime. We're talking about a global organized criminal network that would take decades to take down. And this investigation and the inexplicable moves that we see have taken decades, right? Jeffrey Epstein had his sweetheart deal in 2008. I believe. So we're talking about, you know, almost two decades of this. I think that that we are in the middle of this thing, and that people are drawing conclusions and pointing fingers and saying that people need to resign while we're in the middle and we don't have all the information. The final thing that I'll say is, yesterday President Trump said, you guys are still talking about Epstein? What are you doing? This guy was a creep. This was years ago. Why are you still talking about Epstein? President Trump is not stupid. When it comes to the press, he talks about playing the press in exactly this way in his 1987 book, Art of the Deal. He knows exactly what he's doing with the press. And he knows exactly that him saying that, why are you guys still talking about this, is going to make every single person talk about it even more. So PSYOP, yeah, I think we're in the middle of an information war, and each one of these things is a battle space. Some people think that we're getting mostly, you know, legitimate, objective information, and every once in a while they throw a PSYOP in there. I think it's all fucking PSYOPs.
That was an Academy Award performance by the president. By the way, I will say, how dare you? Are you still talking about this? After everything else we're experiencing,
yeah.
How dare you? How dare you?
And in response, we got this, which was the point, in my opinion.
It could have been. It could have been that. And if he did that, then that if that was intentional, then yeah, I'd have to say, look, that was brilliant. That he knew that would go in that direction. That Democrats would start pushing for the release of it. It's possible. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
But what? Just the,
they fall for it every time.
For him to be playing chess in that way, I don't. So, I'm so, not. I'm 50-50 on it.
What's the end game here, Ash? So is he going to drop like a mean ass list? Is that
This is my most hopium theory, because the hopium part is that Jeffrey Epstein is alive, and they're not. It's not about dropping.
You've been saying this for months.
I know. I've been saying this for years. I've been saying this since he supposedly killed himself, because that whole story made zero sense. The reason that, like, what I the reason I think that we're not getting a list and disclosure, and this person did this and this person did this, is because they're going to prosecute. And again, I recognize that it's a hopium filled theory, and all of the evidence that we see before us suggests that they're trying to cover this up and make it go away. But here's the thing. If Jeffrey Epstein is alive and going to testify against the most powerful people in the world, you'd have to make the world believe he was dead.
Yeah.
Could be. I don't know how they would keep that secret that long. There was all the leaks we had. But I do believe he's alive. I agree
We ain't seen an alien yet.
You remember they made everyone believe that we were seeing all these UFOs and stuff, but I called that one out. I was like, this is a sign. There were multiple signs.
You still got people that think Neil Armstrong walked on the moon.
I don't know. I'm torn on it. I've heard both sides of that. Part of me thinks
that shit's bullshit.
I've heard both.
You know, we used to be able to go to the moon in a nanosecond, but we destroyed that technology, and it's like super hard to.
That's the part where I'm like, oh, that doesn't make sense. Why nobody?
So we went down an Epstein side quest, which puts us a little bit behind schedule. I want to quickly talk about the America Party and what that might mean for Colorado. And Michael, I want your thoughts on that first. Then we'll get into the Colorado Constitution stuff.
On the what was
Elon Musk's third party? I'm opposed to national parties. I think that they're it's an inversion of what the organization of the people to affect change in society should be, having national parties that basically can control the local parties through funding and, you know, policy and whatnot. But the Colorado Republican and Democrat Party is a controlled dynamic uniparty. It's very, very obvious. And half of our state is unaffiliated. Yeah. Over half of our state is unaffiliated with either party. So a third party option that was well-funded, you know, highly visible, why this and not the libertarians, right? Although libertarians did a great job in the last election, better than they've done in a long time.
But what did they have to do? They had to basically say, look, vote for Trump because you're going to take away votes, which is part of what they did in this last election. They basically said, look, you know, we want some people to come out and vote for us, show that we have support, but we don't want to, you know, destroy his chances of getting elected because.
Well, that's actually a perfect example, though. That's a perfect example of what the uninverting the power structure within the parties, because the national libertarians were like, we're not going to vote for Trump, right? They all freaked out and had this massive schism in their party. And they nominated Chase Oliver for president. Here in Colorado, the libertarians were like, nah. We're not doing that because that, you know, we actually want to affect change. And they didn't just encourage people to vote for Trump. They made deals with Republicans in different jurisdictions to place whichever candidate has the best chance of winning, that candidate would, you know, the other party's person would drop out. Now, the Republicans didn't honor that agreement very well, but the libertarians did, and it did affect change. I think it's arguable that Gabe Evans was elected because of the libertarian influence in that race. And so if you think about something like an America Party, and this is going to lead into, you know, the conversation about if not this, what do we do, which is, you know, potentially abolish the government. What could we do with that kind of dynamic in Colorado? Karen, what do you think?
The libertarians kind of got on board in mass volume from what I saw when the president said that if he was elected, he would free Russ Ulbricht.
And he did.
Made that promise, and he kept that promise, and he has done exactly what he said he was going to do, which is something the even the Libertarian Party is like, well, damn, this man keeps his word. So we already have a third party option. This America party that is completely filled with foreigners. I'm not showing
it.
What do you think of that?
I'm a part of the American party.
As I sit and look at a 7-Eleven, it's fine. Was that racist?
Lightweight. Yeah. That was like racist light. Racist.
If everything is racist, nothing is racist.
Yeah. Oh, well, good. Thank you. I needed that disclaimer. So the Libertarian Party, they've actually been very, very effective and very helpful bringing some lawsuits against Jenna Griswold, for example, which the GOP did not do.
Yeah.
Still mad about that. They won't even support MAGA candidates. So I'm not sure what's going on. It's a shame.
It's a uniparty controlled dynamic.
Controlled opposition. Yeah, that's what it is.
It's horrible. Colorado,
and it's been clear that was the case since 2010. In 2010, during the gubernatorial election, the Republican Party refused to listen to its voters about what they wanted, who they wanted to run for governor. So Tom Tancredo split off and ran under the America Constitution party. Tom Tancredo got over 30% of the vote. Republicans got 11. If they had hit 10%, they would have been demoted to minority party in the state. And what was their answer to that? Well, they didn't really shift course. In fact, the party registration has gone like this ever since. And now
they're okay losing. They're okay, just like the ones in Congress. They're okay losing and just being in the minority and you know, being able to blame that, them being a minority, for why they can't get things done that they didn't want to do. So yeah, it's ridiculous.
We need to neuter their power. What, Aaron?
So Trump getting things done is scaring the shit out of them, apparently.
Yeah, it is. It is. And they don't like it. And I think he's doing, you know, backroom deals to try to get certain things through. And there's other things they're just not going to do. But yeah, he's definitely putting pressure on them to do more populist stuff. And they don't like it at all.
Look at Hakeem Jeffries. Like, Hakeem Jeffries has been on two channels in the past 48 hours. And this fool can't even bring himself to endorse Mondami. Like, he don't know. But
that's a death sentence.
But here's the thing. It might not. It wouldn't be.
It's like making Timmy Hernandez governor of Colorado.
Nah, but Pete, it's not a death sentence, because that's the direction his party's going in. It's already been taken over. They're calling for him to be primaried and Chuck. They're done. They're done. The whole Democrat Party is going full-blown commie socialist, okay?
Remember when President Trump said in the State of the Union, America will never be a socialist nation, then Nancy Pelosi tore up the speech? President Trump was right again.
Yeah. I mean, look, if he wins, the Democrat takeover, the communist takeover of the Democrats is over. It's a wrap. That sets precedent. So now, and at that point, they'll never win a general. They can hang that up.
They could through cheating, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, but here's the thing. But nationwide, it'll never work. However, in little pockets of the country, just like in Minneapolis, you know, or, you know, Minnesota, or even in Colorado, you know, it works. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And as Michael said, it's super helpful when you can steal elections.
Well, that too, but it's also a bad situation for business, right? So New York, we've already snatched up like $3 trillion worth of wealth out of New York just coming to Florida. Some crazy number. But they've already come to Florida. Palm Beach is, they're buying all the big real estate that's been sitting in Palm Beach, like this, just under the size of Mar-a-Lago, it's being purchased.
So, did you hear Kyle Serhant? Kyle Serhant with the big billionaire real estate boutique said his phone has been ringing off the hook since Mondami's so-called won. There, people are like, oh, hell no, I'm going to Florida. He's like, I am a New York real estate And I watched that show, by the way. It's really nuts. What is it called? Owning Manhattan. Yeah.
Right.
He said, I'm getting calls every day. Calls of people. I'm doing real estate deals in Florida. That was 2 weeks ago. And it has not stopped.
But see, look how late he is. Grant Cardone and Kevin O'Leary have said this 2 years ago. Like, the thing about it is I believe that what's gonna end up happening is, like, Eric Adams was in for 4th of July. This dude was in the Hamptons. Was it the Hamptons at the end of Long Island?
Yeah, I thought it was.
Yes,
Florida.
Oh, the Hamptons is at the end of Long Island.
Yeah, he was out there in the Hamptons with movers and shakers, big pockets, and so was Cuomo. They were trying to push Cuomo out. They're like, dude, stop the bullshit. Like, we back in Adams. Like, get the hell out. He's like, I'll decide by in September. Motherfucker, we ain't got that kind of time.
Yeah, he's gonna Biden.
It's not just Biden. We need the darkie back in there.
Yeah,
get us Kamala. Somebody get me Kamala.
Yeah.
All right. So we have 13 minutes left. I have your two documents here, Michael. We're gonna turn it over to you to take us through kind of which one do you want to start with?
So I guess I would start with, and I'm obviously not gonna be able to cover the whole thing, but probably the letter to the White House.
Set it up for us first.
Yeah. I can tell you. So I used to be one of those people that said, yeah, there's no way that they're coordinating election theft in the way that Trump was saying. I was like, that's ridiculous. But then, you know, this last year in 2024, I started looking into it, and now I'm completely on the other side. I'm like, once I started investigating it for myself, I was like, oh my God, there is a lot of fraud. There's a lot of corruption here. They are. And seeing, especially that election really sealed it when we saw that Colorado, I think, what did I think only like one Republican flipped like one or two seats. And then every other state saw, you know, wild swings to the right. But Colorado,
which election are you talking about? 2022 or
2024? Yeah. After they basically wrecked the state.
In still 2022, didn't see a shift right. Remember the red wave narrative in 2022?
Yeah. And it just
Colorado was the absolute opposite.
Yeah, and this one and that, yeah, that's where I thought they were stealing it, definitely there. But then when I saw 2024, I was like, oh my God, the fact that we're the only state that didn't shift right at all, basically we're like, yeah, nope, we're gonna double and triple down, even though you talk to people, you know, they're not happy here. So I started investigating it. I said, yeah, there's a lot of oddities. And so what this is it's a letter to the White House and to I copied, you know, the FBI, the DOJ, all of that, the state election people, basically pointing out, you know, historic, looking at all the nationwide election cheating. I started listing it out. I said, look, you're seeing this everywhere. And then next I looked at 2020 and 2024, where I think 2020 was the biggest steal. But 2024, they had a lot of oddities. And so I pointed all that out and say, look, this is happening pretty much everywhere, all across the country. And then I said, okay, let's look at Colorado. And so I did that as well. And I said, there's some oddities here. One of the biggest points that I made, which, you know, I don't know what impact it had. It could have been why they're investigating it. The biggest point was the weird shift in Denver County that I noticed. And I think it was New York Times, I think I was looking at. But basically, the day after the election, they had certain number of votes left and a certain number of votes that they were expecting. And it changed after that. The next day, it changed significantly, and it added about 80,000. Once you do all the math and you plug in the numbers, they added basically 80,000 votes after. This is after election day, and in Colorado, votes have to be received by election day at 7 p.m. So there's no excuse for why it would increase the amount of anticipated votes by 80 grand. That just doesn't make sense. And it about matches with the significant left shift, the weird extreme left shift we've seen that defies, you know, common sense. Just seeing that, you know, just saw Denver that went from, you know, in 2016, it was, you know, I don't want to get too much of the percentage, but I'll say this, the shifts you're seeing left in places like Denver, really everywhere, it defies what is really possible given.
Yeah, they steal elections. So I started looking into this after the 2020 election. It's how I met Karen, actually. We marched together in protest of the 2020 election, and then we co-founded, you know, founded together with Holly and other activists, the U.S. Election Integrity Plan. We did a canvas of the 2020 election, found an 8-11% anomaly rate across. And that, by canvas, I mean, we went door to door with the results in a very statistically sound and targeted, in terms of, you know, targeted by what was called voter opportunity score. It was the data scientist that that designed the canvassing. Way that the targeting was intended to allow us to make statistical assertions across the state. And we used the word targeted when we talked about it. And then we were sued for targeting minorities and sending armed agents to their homes to intimidate them, which never happened. And we took it to trial and we won at trial. But because 2 days before we dropped our report, those allegations against us came out, nobody ever looked at the report because the report was produced by a bunch of Klan members. Right. They sued us under the they sued us under the KKK Act, which I grew up in Atlanta. And it's literally one of the most offensive things that's ever happened to me in my whole fucking life.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
To have my name attached to the KKK because I understand what that means. From, you know, when I was in the 1980s, the Klan was still organized in the state of Georgia.
Especially in Stone Mountain.
Yeah. And so it's absolutely offensive. But over time. So, you know, Sean Smith did an assessment after 2020, his orientation, he does testing of critical infrastructure for the Department of Defense as a U.S. Air Force colonel. And his initial thing was, I got to see how they're testing these things. What do the test plans look like? What are the so he read all the manuals, found test plans, went through and was like, holy shit. There's no way that this is an effective or appropriate test for critical infrastructure. Holly at Altitude was an election worker and was supposed to be inside of an air gap when they had her download Zoom onto the machine that she was using inside of the election zone. Things like this that happened that made no sense. Yeah. And when you ask questions about it, they destroy your life. So in 2022, we learned how they rigged primaries and the use of third parties. We learned more, you know, with Mike O'Donnell and whatnot, taking votes from Tina Peters. And that was it is a very complicated, centralized machine because centralization creates complexity and complexity breeds and hides corruption. So let's get into your plan with the little time we have left.
Yeah. So with the little time, I guess I'd say, yeah,
I can, if you're okay with it, I can put both of these documents in the show notes on ColoradoFreePress.com so people can read them when they have time. Is that cool?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
I'll do that right after the show for everybody watching.
Please do. So yeah, well, the way this came about. So originally my plan was to abolish the government in accordance with the Colorado Constitution. We're given that ability. I did do a poll. I paid
Article 2, Section 2.
Yeah. And we have that ability. We can abolish our government. So what I did was I did a poll on X and I did either a $50 or $100 boost. That one did not. And I tried to word it as best I could and you know, come up with a way of establishing a new government. That one did not pass. I think it got maybe 44%. And I tried to, you know, make it go down. Now it didn't work. So I said, look, that it's not within striking range. So I've got to try something else. So what I did was I said, look, we have to get to the root of the problem, which is the election corruption. We got to fix that first. So then that's where this came about. And I said, the biggest thing the biggest issue with our elections is really you have a lot of voters that shouldn't be on the rolls that are just sitting on the rolls. That's effectively where the kind of how they cheat is just part of how they can kind of rig elections. You need a lot of voters on these voter rolls, and then you kind of hide within that, much like laundering money. The bigger the that number, the bigger the amount of registered voters, whether they're, you know, active voters or not, the more cheating they can kind of do within that range. So you want to decrease that. So this basically criminalizes it at various levels for election officials to retain these ineligible voters and just refuse to remove them, kind of like Jenna's doing, basically just saying, no, I know there's a lot of people that are illegally in the country on here. I'm just not going to remove them. This basically criminalizes that. It does a few other things. It allows you to.
Well, hang on. Can we stick with the voter registration? Because it's a really important point. But the thing that people need to realize is that our voter rolls are digital. And so cleaning them, right? Like what we did was go door to door, knocked on almost 10,000 doors across 4 counties, and then presented the affidavits and findings of issues with the voter rolls to the clerks and DAs and people with jurisdiction. that was an incredible amount of effort, right? It was hundreds of people, you know, thousands of doors, as I said, and they could say, okay, we're going to clean this up, go in, clean it up, and it can be re-corrupted like that. And Judicial Watch sued about this. They sued Jenna Griswold. She entered a consent decree with them. It went into effect in 2023. Part of the consent decree was that she had to produce records of how they were cleaning the voter rolls to Judicial Watch. In 2024, the first reporting deadline came. They didn't comply with it. Judicial Watch went to court, and the court said, "Oh, well, we didn't retain jurisdiction to enforce your consent decree, so there's nothing we can do."
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, which is why, you know, I was kind of hoping we were going to go back to Article 2, Section 2 and talk about what we can do outside of attempting to get the government to follow its own statutory limitations and follow the law, because they won't, and nothing happens to them when they don't.
Yeah, I would say this. I tried. It is not there. A lot of people get caught up on certain things, and I try to make sure that the language that fixes those things is established. So like some people got caught up on one woman got caught up on the word abolish. She didn't like that. I'm like, really? You don't like the word abolish? Like, why? I don't know. Some people do, but then, yeah, I'm like, why does that bother you that much? But besides that, a lot of people, they say, I don't know, I don't trust delegates, because you have to establish a new government, which means you have to find a way of picking people to send to the state capital to establish a new government. That's how this country was formed. People don't really get that. They just like, well, I don't know, you're giving it to these people that, you know, I don't know. And so you get caught up on different things, and it the support just wasn't there. So I said, unless you can convince more people and help them to understand what is happening and why
that is the work, though,
I can't do it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the work of grassroots change. There's not going to be an easy solution that everybody's going to buy into. It's a hearts and minds thing. And on the matter of elections, one of the things that I think is really encouraging is that in 2020, I think it was Rasmussen polling on election fraud, people that believed that the outcome of our election was bullshit, was around 30% of the country. Whoa. It's now close to 70%. And damn, that's the hard work of changing hearts and minds. And, you know, when it comes to the matter of elections, we have a lot of support from the people in the state of Colorado for reform. We don't have the political will of anybody that's actually has power to affect change, you know, systemic power to affect change in this arena. We don't have the political will or the support of those people. And that's what's so deeply concerning, because, you know, so maybe you can go fight it in a state court. Well, the state courts are captured. You know, we have a lot of challenges and an uphill battle, but I appreciate the ideas, and I love the, I'm going to read your full plan and your full letter. Your White House letter is great, because it really does capture a lot of what has happened with elections. And I had a meeting with Susie Wiles back in 2022, and it was about election fraud, and sort of a lot of the stuff in your letter was presented. So I'm 100% confident that the Trump administration knows exactly what the issues are with elections. I don't think that there is a learning gap or that they've ignored any of it. I think that they've been investigating it since 2016, because I think 2016 is when they caught the election fraud. So, Michael, thank you so much for joining us today. And as I said, I will put both of his documents in the show notes so everybody can read them. We expected to have 30 minutes to talk about that, but then we did the Epstein side quest. So, and that always happens on the show. So sorry about that.
I don't know. It's a more interesting topic, I guess.
Ash trying to be organized and have an itinerary. You know, we don't do that shit.
Every time. every time. Is that white supremacy?
Is it having
isn't exercising waking? Isn't being on time that, and exercising white supremacy?
I've read that somewhere. So yeah, maybe.
But the leftist told me.
Yeah, being organized. About.
Oh, you start pretending like you're not the multicultural face of white supremacy. Shut the fuck up, Darren. Karen, final words.
It's the caramel face of white supremacy.
Karen, you're on mute.
Oh, I thought you said Darren.
No, I said Karen, final words.
And I still think this is a psyop, or I don't know, maybe the autist just malfunctioned and he just doesn't, he's socially awkward and he just short-circuited.
Touched by the tism.
Touched by the tism.
It's one way of looking at it.
Well, he suffers from it. So I think
I think he thrives, Karen.
He actually does. I mean, we're on what, maybe 15, 16 by now? Yeah. I don't know. But we're just, for me, the biggest issue is, look, the Jeffrey Epstein thing is important because it's going to bring down the whole freaking corrupt disease temple on their heads.
Let's go.
But right now, I want the deportation. I want these people out of here. No, America has got to get back to where we are first, and we are able to be fiscally successful again. And the president doing things like counting rent, successful rent payments toward getting a mortgage through the credit rating agency.
That's a dope idea.
That is awesome. It is already implemented. Bill Pulte on that team is excellent. He's doing America first things. I think we need to do America first things. We'll get to the Epstein shit at some point, but that is not what we need to be focused on right now. Yeah. It'll come out when I'm telling you, it'll be when anybody least expects it, and they can't cover for it. They can't hide from it. And then you'll see mass deportations, but it'll be of American citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Dead ass.
Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. Vaccine Waters, your final thoughts.
I want to give a shout out to Ron DeSantis for Alligator Alcatraz.
I love Alligator Alcatraz.
I think it's I think I need a hoodie or something. I don't know where to get good merch yet. Right now the merch is looking kind of cheesy.
We need a merch shop for this, and then we could put
we've been
saying that for a while. We should actually do it.
I got the person that can design the stuff, but you don't.
Yeah,
you
all right, we'll talk about it offline. And we can have Alligator Alcatraz shirts.
Stop being cheap. All right. Stop being cheap. Time to get some merch. All right. Some high quality merch.
All right, Michael, we'll give you the last word as our guest.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I hope some people keep up on, especially the Epstein stuff is important. I do think taking down, if there's, you know, that big corrupt cabal that they're likely is, definitely needs to be taken down, and I'm all for it. And I'm hoping for that. As far as the election stuff, I think that is should be very important in people's eyes. So I hope they follow up and we can fix our elections here.
100% agree. And I think we see child sex trafficking and human trafficking arrests and busts and kids rescued almost every single day. Yeah. The idea that we haven't gotten a list of everybody in Washington, D.C. yet that confirms what people really believe about them is it's not the point. And the final thing that I would say is we are making America great again by putting America first. Mm-hmm. That means every single one of us. There is a job and a role for every single one of us. On Inauguration Day 2017, President Trump said today's ceremony has very special meaning because we are taking power from Washington, D.C. and giving it back to you, the people. That means the people need to take it, stand up, and wield that power and demand change. And with that, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back here next Wednesday at noon for your midweek lunch break in Colorado. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers.